Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fuck It, We Did It Live, FFD260's flagship Dynasty podcast. I know we've been off for a while, but we are back on the air and we could not be more excited. I am your host tonight, Mark Leopold. You can find me on Twitter at LeopoldNFL, taking over for my illustrious co-host, Jared Forrest, who you can find on Twitter at the Dynasty Owl. Jared, how are you doing tonight?
I've been better. I have definitely been better. I've been sick for about 2 months now. I don't know what's going on. I'm sure my voice sounds like hell. I'm coughing, so I'll try to mute the mic whenever that happens. But I figured we would do for a show. We got a lot of information we got to cover, so gonna try and muscle through this and enjoy some Thursday Night Football tonight.
Well, the fans, I am sure, appreciate your sacrifice. You're making it for them specifically because
Of
we love
course.
you guys.
Always.
So let's not waste any time. We have a shitload to cover tonight because we've been off basically since the beginning of the season. We're now halfway through the fantasy season, almost halfway through the NFL season. So I think we should start with a few pressing issues here. Number one, what the fuck are the Raiders doing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's clear that someone tweeted out when they traded Amari that Jon Gruden clearly plays dynasty football. And I think that's what it looks like. I think that this is what we should see more in the NFL, where teams clearly cannot compete right now and they need to just build for the future. The Raiders weren't an awful team on paper coming into the year. Obviously, getting rid of a defensive player of the year changes that. And now getting rid of Amari Cooper certainly changes that. It's definitely a rebuild there. However, I will say, and this may segue into our next thing, they got a nice return for Amari Cooper. I think he's worth what they got, but I think a lot more pieces have to be sold for that team to really punt it in. I think Carl Joseph needs to be traded. I keep hearing that Carr is untouchable. I don't necessarily believe that. I think Jalen Richard maybe traded to a team that needs a running back, but we'll see. I don't necessarily disagree with what they're doing, but it's different when it comes to the NFL.
Yeah, I think my take on the philosophy is that it's not awful because Jon Gruden has the one thing that really very few NFL coaches out there have, and that's job security. Because he signed such a long-term contract that the organization has obviously invested him. So I think they know that if he blows things up now, he'll still be there. So I think that's probably part of the plan, which, I don't strictly disagree with his approach, but the way I see this trade is, number one, if I'm the Cowboys, I think it's a fair price to give up a first. But if you're the Raiders, I think you did well getting the first. So I think it's kind of an interesting valuation there on the Amari Cooper trade because they drafted him using a first round pick, essentially didn't utilize him to his full potential, and he had some down years in there. So his value probably shouldn't have increased during that time so far in his NFL career. And they got back exactly what they paid, basically. So I think the Raiders got away with a steal, but the Cowboys also got a receiver who's 6 months older than Calvin Ridley and has four NFL seasons under his belt. And he's still being treated by defenses like an elite wide receiver. He's getting a lot of cushion and he's separating very well. And he's actually played well this year. His drop rate's low. He's been relatively efficient with his targets. A lot of them have just been uncatchable. So on an island, Amari's playing pretty decently. So I think the Cowboys did well as well. So actually, I don't mind the trade. I saw a lot of negative reactions, but I think both sides did something that's pretty good for their franchise. But for
You
the
know why I think
Raiders.
a lot of people think the trade is bad, and I'm getting tired of seeing the comparison, is that the Josh Gordon for a fifth rounder was done a week before. And it's completely different. You cannot say, oh, the Patriots got Josh Gordon for a fifth. Why couldn't, the Cowboys sell less for Cooper? Two completely different players. The threat of Gordon, you don't know what kind of drama is surrounding him at any given time. He hasn't been on the football field in years. The only thing that kind of questions me is if the Cowboys, I think the Cowboys are looking at this year and they think that the NFC East is dog shit, which it is. And maybe they have a chance to, maybe they have a chance to win the division. So why don't you go after Josh? You tell me you couldn't get Josh Gordon for a fourth and then keep your first rounder. That's the only thing that kind of concerns me, but I agree with you. I think that the trade was good for both teams. I also look at it long-term for the Raiders, where they're going to be moving to Vegas in a few years. They were never going to re-sign Mac. They were never going to re-sign Cooper. They couldn't afford it. I think what they're going to try and do is just offload everything, get a ton of cap room for the year that they move to Vegas, sign big-name free agents, and kind of be that that new kid on the block with a new team and a new stadium and new players. It's really going to draw the free agents over there. So I think if they're thinking long-term, that's a good plan. But I'm curious to see how it plays out.
Yeah, I think that's got to be the plan, because my general thoughts on Oakland's approach is, if you're not going to pay Khalil Mack and you're not going to pay Amari Cooper, who you can argue, you know, maybe he's not an elite wide receiver, but at the same time, he's a 24-year-old receiver with four seasons under his belt that's produced solid stat lines throughout his career. If you're not going to pay either of those guys, who are you going to pay? So to me, that must, you know, that says exactly what you're saying, is they're going to bring people in. So I think you're exactly right. They're probably loading up, trying to get those picks, and then to solidify a team for when they move. And they're going to just do exactly what the Rams did this year, go out, spend big time in free agency, and try to load up for a run then. Yeah. So I think that's probably what's happening. Moving on.
Yeah, I agree.
What the fuck are the Cowboys doing, if there's anything else that we want to say?
I think we said a lot of it. We both like the trade. I think that the NFC East is dog shit. And, you know, you look at the standings right now, and the Redskins, the only team that's eliminated from that division are the Giants. The Giants are awful. That's no secret. They're selling as well, which is interesting to see. But the Redskins, 4-2. Cowboys are only two games behind. And the Redskins have the least amount of points scored in the division. I mean, there's nothing impressive about that team. I think the Eagles still come out of that division, but you look at that as a Cowboys fan and someone in their front office, the Eagles and the Cowboys are tied right now in the division. So there's no reason why, you know, you bring in Amari Cooper, you give Dak another weapon. Maybe teams can't stack the box as much against Zeke. Now, that's not a terrible wide receiving core. If you put, you know, Hearns, who's just been awful, you put him as your fourth receiver now, with Beasley still in the slot and Cooper and Gallup on the outside, maybe they start to utilize Rico Gathers a little bit more. And the offense isn't awful, and the Cowboys' defense has been playing great. So I could see how maybe this move causes them to make a run this year, but giving up a first for a receiver that has 2 years left on his rookie deal, it's steep. But I guess if you're gonna make a run, you got to go get your guys.
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I think they probably should have been able to get him for less, but I don't hate that they gave up the first. And one of the things about Cooper is obviously he's on his rookie contract still, and first-round picks, you get 4 years plus the fifth-year option. So they will have the option to keep him next year. It will be at a much steeper salary rate, but at the same time, that does give them the flexibility to say, you know, maybe we'll keep you one more year, see if it's working out. And they don't have to necessarily decide between now and the end of this season. So his contract situation, I think, works out well for what they're trying to do now, and kind of the time frame that they'd want to make that decision for the longer term.
Yeah, well, the Raiders already optioned Cooper for the fifth year, so that's already on the contract. And he's getting so it comes out to about $14 million next year for him. So that's it's a hefty amount for a wide receiver that you just traded for. But, I mean, they're not paying a lot of big name guys. Tyron Smith is getting $15 million next year. Zach Martin is $14 million. We don't know what's going on with Travis Frederick. He's the one that's So he's getting $10 million, so that might be off the books, depending on what happens with his health. So I mean, as far as cap space goes, it's still yet to see. They don't have a lot of big name free agents, so I can't imagine that they go out and they're big spenders in the offseason. So, yeah, I look at this as possibly just a rental, which I wouldn't be surprised at. However, a first-round pick for a rental, I have a little qualm with that. So it's another team. It'll be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I fucked up there on the option. If Spotrac is listening, put it somewhere in the middle, not way off to the side between the ads. Because they picked up the option in April, and it's not very obvious on the page. Anyway,
that's where I found it. But I also, I just brought up the Cowboys total cap. So estimated cap space for next year is $48 million. So that's not bad. So you could definitely re-sign Cooper with that money. And doesn't look like they're losing a lot of people. So that maybe they can go out and spend and kind of bolster that offense a little bit more.
Yep. All right. Enough of that. Nobody wants to hear about the Cowboys because they're shit.
There they are.
Moving on. So we've had not quite, I think, the quarterback renaissance that some people were predicting. These guys haven't really just blown up the league right away. There's a lot of talk about who should be the number one pick between Mayfield, Darnold, Rosen, Allen, and then also Lamar Jackson gets taken in the first round. We have seen all five of these guys play so far. Four of them have made starts at quarterback. Lamar Jackson sprinkled in here and there on wildcat type of plays or split out, whatever it might be. So he's played some snaps here and there, but we've seen four out of five start meaningful games. What are your thoughts so far on these rookie quarterbacks? Are you, any of them that you're trying to buy right now? Are there any of them that you're trying to sell if you have them? Give it to me straight.
I'm not really surprised with a lot of it. I mean, they're rookie quarterbacks. You don't expect rookie quarterbacks to come in and, you know, set fire to the world, and none of them are. QBR, I think it goes Mayfield, Rosen, Darnold at 29, 30, and 31. So I think that's about what we expected. Obviously, we have almost nothing to look at with Lamar Jackson. They're bringing him on trick plays, and even then, he's hardly throwing the ball. So we can't really judge that. Josh Allen, pretty significant injury. So again, very short sample size. Didn't look as bad as I thought he would, but still, hashtag never Josh Allen. The one I'm buying still remains Sam Darnold for the simple reason that I think Baker's price has not dropped enough for me to go out and inquire about him. And I don't know what's going on with Josh Rosen and that offense. I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later as far as Byron Leftwich goes with David Johnson, but that offense scares me. There's not a lot of weapons there outside of, you know, Christian Kirk. When you look in the next few years, Larry Fitzgerald looks old. He's going to be done very shortly. And then Sam, the Jets have $90 to $100 million in cap space. They're going to have plenty of skill positions that they're going to bring in to help support that, whether that be running backs or wide receivers. Looks like he's already developed a chemistry with Chris Herndon, the tight end. So I think that buying Darnold now when he leads the league in interceptions and his QBR is 30th in the league, I think his price has dropped enough where you could go out and get him for much cheaper than rookie draft time. So that's who I'm buying.
Yeah, I think you said a lot of good things there. I'm definitely with you on Darnold. I think he's got a bright future, and I wouldn't be terribly surprised if his price has dropped a little bit just because he hasn't really put up strong fantasy lines yet. But I'm definitely trying to buy Mayfield, even if his price is where he was drafted, because I thought he was good value at his rookie draft cost. And while his numbers haven't really jumped off the page yet, a lot of that is due to the Browns wide receivers' drops. They've really struggled dropping balls that are accurately thrown. So his numbers look a little better when you factor out those type of things. And that's kind of a sign, I think, that will, you know, his production will come because they will start catching those balls. Drops aren't one of those things that is really sticky week to week, year to year. It's kind of more random. So I'm definitely trying to buy Mayfield. I like a lot of things that the Browns have done. They've got a nice group of skill position players around him, although not as nice as it was when the year started. So I think they're going to need to figure out something at wide receiver since Antonio Callaway seems to suck. But I like where the Browns are headed longer term. The defense is turning around, so they probably won't, you know, take away scoring opportunities or put him in negative game scripts by, you know, getting down big and putting him in tough situations like that where he has to risk throwing interceptions. So I do like Mayfield long term. I like that they've got some young skilled players around him that he'll be able to work with for several years. I like Darnold for the reasons you mentioned. I'm totally out on Allen. I'm selling Josh Allen if you can get anything for him. I don't think he's looked awful, but I think he's looked bad.
Yeah.
And his only good game so far, statistically really, is the game against Minnesota, where they started a couple of drives basically just outside the red zone.
Yeah.
And he benefited from a couple of penalty, like a third down roughing the passer call or something that kept one of the touchdown drives alive. And the other one, like Chris Ivory took a short dump off for 55 yards. So really outside of a couple of fluke plays in that game, he didn't even really do much. They just, the defense put him in scoring position for Minnesota's turnovers, and he was able to capitalize. And so the touchdowns buoyed his fantasy numbers. Rosen, pretty much agree with you. And Lamar Jackson, I'm still interested in just because we haven't seen anything to change my mind from before the draft, and I was high on him.
Yeah, no, I agree. And just to clear things up, don't get it. Like, Baker is still my number one dynasty quarterback as far as these rookies go. He's still up there. I'm only saying Darnold simply because of the price. I think that the price gap has grown between Baker and Darnold. So
yeah, I agree.
I'd take advantage of that right now if I were to go out and try and trade for either one of them.
Yeah, and for me, Lamar Jackson's still my number two just because of what he offers rushing. But I had Darnold ahead of Rosen before. That's still the case, and Allen's still a distant fifth. Is that how you have it, or do you have Lamar lower?
I still have Baker one, Darnold two, Allen five. So
yeah, absolutely.
I like the upside of Lamar and the rushing capability. I love rushing quarterbacks. Obviously, I love Cam Newton. But I think Lamar would be my three. I think regardless of how well Flacco is playing, his time there is done. Lamar is going to see that offense next year. And I just – that offense, that what's around Rosen is really, really scary. David Johnson is a shell of himself, and if that's – part him or part the coaching and the play calling. We'll see with Byron Leftwich when he takes over. But that offense is just completely unthreatening, and there's really not a lot that I could see in the future that'll help support that. He has nothing around him. So right now, I guess I would put Lamar three, but there is a very big gap after Darnold.
All right. Yep, I think that's fair. All right, so moving on here. Enough talk about quarterbacks. So we are definitely experiencing a new group of running backs that are entering the fold. Some of these guys, you could argue, are RB1s almost for Dynasty. And several of them are going to be RB1s on some weeks here in redraft leagues. So we've got an exciting new crop of running backs, rookies and sophomores. So talk to me about some of these guys. What do you think? What are you doing with them if you own them? And what are you doing if you don't own them? Are you trying to go out and acquire them in a dynasty context? So let's start with James Conner and Marlon Mack. These are two guys that are both taking over, sophomore running backs, stepped into bell cow roles. James Conner, we've seen it all year. Marlon Mack, we've seen it now that he's back healthy. In his first week back in week six, he got in a negative game script, but he still got the bulk of the touches in neutral game script. And then, obviously, last week, week seven, we saw him just totally explode over 20 touches, tons of yards, two touchdowns, like 30-something fantasy points. So he had a blow-up week. What do you think of these two guys? Are you buying, selling? Where do you stand?
Well, it's unfortunate because Marlon Mack didn't even practice today. So
yeah, he's still questionable.
Yeah, I know there's still a chance for him to play. I really hope he does. I've always been a big fan of Marlon Mack. We said that in the beginning when we first started taping this pod, when everybody thought that it'd be, you know, either Wilkins or Hines with the Mack injury and what to do. And I was always strong that Marlon Mack was the guy to own there. And I think he proved that with this last week, which is his first real full healthy week. And he tore it up. It was great to watch. With James Conner, I think my script has kind of flipped because when the season started – and he had that first game, I was all about selling now. And while I still don't think that Conner is a great running back, I really don't think you have to be that good of a running back in that system. You're going to get 30 touches a game, which you won't get virtually on any other team in the league. So the volume is going to be there, even if the production isn't great. I would probably still sell Conner unless I'm competing right now. And the same time, if Mack doesn't play this week, I want to buy him everywhere because I think owners may get tired of holding on to him with the injuries over the first 2 years, and maybe they just don't believe in him, and they think that Wilkins and Hines will eat into his workload. But I'm buying Mack. and I'm selling Connor unless I'm competing, in which case I'm guess I'm holding and then hope that the trade bell or which I don't think is going to happen. I think the Connor one is just an interesting story because we've never seen anything like it. And Bell has to come back in week 10. Otherwise, he loses his free agent status. So it's going to be fun to monitor that. But as of right now, I think I'm higher on Mac than I am in Connor. And that may sound crazy, but I don't mind.
It might sound crazy, but that's the rational thing to do because when you talk about like week 12, 13, 14 fantasy playoffs, and next year, we know what's going to happen with Marlon Mack. He's going to be the lead back in Indianapolis, playing with Andrew Luck on an offense that should be improving. As Andrew Luck continues to get healthier and they get another season, Marlon Mack gets back to full health. We know what's going to happen. James Conner, for all we know, he'll never play a snap after this year or after week 10. So it's very possible. I mean, he's been very good, obviously, for fantasy purposes. And I think he fooled everybody because a lot of people, including myself, thought he was just a between the tackles grinder and he would not be used much or effective in the passing game. And we know Pittsburgh likes to use one back exclusively and give him all the touches. But even so, I didn't think James Conner was good enough at catching passes and being used in the receiving game to be a bell cow. They have used him that way and he's been effective. But that said, I think the system is contributing more to his receiving work than his talent. I think if you put him in another system, his receiving efficiency would look very different. So that's why I'm not buying James Conner. I think I'm holding because he's obviously going to help you win weeks. And every week matters, especially if you're not a 6 or 7-0 team in the middle of the season. If you're 4-3, 3-4, you need those wins. So I'm probably holding him. If you get a Godfather offer, somebody thinking he's going to be the bell cow next year too, yeah, I would probably take it because the value would be too hard to pass up. But Marlon Mack, like you said, I'm all in trying to buy him because we know exactly what we're getting. So here's the question.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead.
He was typically, I think, a late first round pick, maybe early second. Would you give a first if you're on the playoff bubble? So it could be early, it could be mid, could be late. Would you give a random first?
For Connor?
For Mac.
Yes. Yeah, I think I would because even if he doesn't give you enough this year to get you to the championship, I think that he's a very good long-term investment. And with next year's draft class, I'm definitely not impressed, especially in the running back position. So, you know, I think straight up in a vacuum, I would probably give up a first for Mac.
Yeah, and if you're contending and you don't own Marlon Mack, you are now obligated to go offer your first-round pick for Marlon Mack.
So,
would you give a first and a second? If you're contending, late first plus late second.
That's tough.
I would still do that.
I would probably want something back, like give me a third back.
That's fair.
To try and get some sort of draft capital, but I would definitely do a first and a third.
Yep, easily.
First and a second, I would definitely have to think about it.
All right, fair enough. Nick Chubb, not quite a bell cow because they have Duke Johnson using the receiving game. Although his first start after the Carlos Hyde trade, he got every touch that Carlos Hyde has been getting all year. His carries plus targets looked almost identical to Hyde's season averages. So he's, let's call it, borderline bell cow status. What do we think about Chubb? Obviously, Duke Johnson signed there for, I think, 3 more years, if I remember right. Chubb's going to be there for that same amount of time on his rookie deal. So he's going to have Johnson there with him as long as he's in Cleveland, unless they trade one of the two, which seems unlikely to me. Where do we stand on Chubb? You buying, selling, holding? What do you think?
I mean, in all honesty, I think the buying window is closed. I think that the buying window was there when Hyde was there, and I think it's gone now because people who were rebuilding wanted him because he's a rookie running back. People who are competing wanted him because he's going to be a borderline bell cow running back. So everybody should want him, which means that no one wants to sell him. I think the buying window is closed. And if it's not, I'm trying to buy him wherever I can. And I'm giving up more for him than I am for Marlon Mack. Chubb has been incredibly impressive. I think that offense will eventually build into one that's going to be two-dimensional, so people can't stack the box. I don't mind that he's going to share the workload with Duke Johnson. A lot of the running backs that we always talk about are getting spelled by that third down pass catching back. And even then, Chubb, you know, he's solid out of the backfield. He could catch the ball. I'm not worried about that. But, you know, he's first in true yards per carry. Looks great. I mean, he's has five breakaway runs this year, but most of the, three of those came in one game. And he's seventh in yards created. So if I can buy Chubb, I'm giving up quite a bit for him. But I just can't imagine a situation in which a team is going to be selling him.
Yeah, I think you're right on. I think the Chubb owner is going to be ready to hold now that he's starting. I'm not quite with you on giving up more than I would for Mac. I think I'm higher on Mac because he catches passes and he'll be used more reliably in the passing game. But I think they're pretty close. And I, you know, if I'm a contender, I'll offer that first up right now. And if it has to be like a first and a third, I think I'd still do that. So I think we're probably right around the same ballpark. But if I had Chubb, I'd give him up for Mac. So I think I'm a little higher there on Mac.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know. I never thought of that. I think I would still take Chubb.
I like the three down skill set because we know Nick Chubb's not going to be, you know, a full blown first, second, and third down back.
You know what I am doing though? If I own James Conner anywhere, I'm offering Conner and I'm offering Conner for Chubb in a second or something.
Yeah.
Seeing if I could get something along those lines. I just don't know if I own him anywhere.
Yeah, some sucker might give you that.
I hope so.
All right. Moving on here. Kareem Hunt, we know he's a bell cow. Is it time to put him in the elite running back status with the guys like Todd Gurley, Le'Veon Bell if he comes back, Zeke Elliott, David Johnson, Saquon Barkley? Is he around that territory? Is he close? Is he already there in your mind? Because we know he's a bell cow. He's on a strong offense, and he's just blowing it up this year, even though there were some people concerned about Spencer Ware at the beginning of the year. We know he's obviously very talented, and he's putting it into play on the field there and delivering week in and week out.
So, first off, I think that it's time to put Todd Gurley on a tier of his own.
Agree.
So, if we're talking about the next tier, like tier 1B, I can put Kareem Hunt up there. I think that with teams just unable to put more than seven guys in the box against Patrick Mahomes, and with the positive game script that Kareem Hunt is always going to get because the Chiefs put up monster points. Andy Reid is a genius, able to get him involved in every aspect of the game. Why not? He's third in rushing yards, and he has 226 receiving yards, second in the league in total touchdowns, only behind Gurley, but Gurley set in record-setting paces. I put him up there. I think that offense is going to be unstoppable for the next 3-4 years. And I think that as long as Mahomes is healthy, Kareem Hunt's going to be the main benefactor from there outside of maybe Tyreek Hill.
Yep, I'm with you. So for me, Todd Gurley's in a tier of his own. And then I think after that, I probably have Saquon Barkley, Zeke Elliott, and Kareem Hunt. I think that's probably about the tier, and I don't think you can put Leonard Fournette there because he's hurt all the time and he's not a good pass catcher. I don't think you can put Dalvin Cook there because now I think I'm starting to get more concerned about his injury status. Christian McCaffrey's not there yet. I mean, he's a good pass catcher, but he's not quite a bell cow. So a lot of these guys that are in that territory, Le'Veon Bell, obviously, the holdout situation plus his age, David Johnson's age plus his usage. So
You're forgetting one. What about Alvin Kamara?
Yeah, I mean, Kamara's in there for sure, obviously.
Okay, all right, just making sure that you put him in there also.
Yeah. Okay. All right, moving on here, Kerryon Johnson. He's not quite a bell cow either. He's not going to get goal line touches, but he is stepping into a bigger role, and he's producing. He went over 100 yards for the first time in Lions history, basically. where do you stand on Kerryon in a decently crowded backfield at this point, but one that might open up down the road?
God, how good does he look?
Amazing.
He looks so good. And you know what? I was so low on Kerryon Johnson coming into the draft process. And I am dead wrong. He looks so smooth, patient. And I'm not worried about the running back, the situation there in the future at all. Amir Abdullah is a free agent after this year. I think they're going to cut bait on him. LeGarrette Blount looks fucking bad. He looks just a plodding, fat, slow man that should not be on a football field.
Is there a better way to signal that you want to lose games than to give LeGarrette Blount carries?
No.
Okay, no, I didn't think so.
No, he looks terrible. I don't know why he's still getting any carries. The only guy who's going to continue to get those third down plays is Theo Riddick, which, again, I think we're in the time of the NFL where if you could get a third down back, you know, obviously they're going to be put on a tier of their own just because of the opportunity. But ideally, you're going to be looking at those two down backs, and Kerryon Johnson's going to be solid for them in the future. The Lions have always passed first, so teams aren't going to be able to play the run against him. He's fourth in the league in true yards per carry, fifth in breakaway run. So his numbers on a much bigger sample scale are similar to Chubb's. And the Lions have more of a passing threat. So if anything, Kerryon Johnson, you know, maybe more impressive than Chubb as of right now. But I love him. I give up a first for him right now. I doubt anybody takes that. People probably definitely want more. But as far as trade value goes, I put him on the same thing as someone like a Nick Chubb.
Yeah, I think I probably have him right around Chubb. Still behind Mac for the same reason that I mentioned with Chubb is we're not sure that he's going to be a true three-down back yet. But I have him around that territory. If I'm a contender, offer up that first-round pick. All right, so I've got two more guys here, not bell cows, but they're worthy of this discussion because they're both getting solid amount of touches. They're both used in the passing game a little bit. One of them not as much as we'd hope, but they're both in he's in a decent offense there, and Sony Michel is the one who doesn't catch that many passes. He's in a very good offense, so both these guys have a couple of different things going for them, ways that they can produce. Where do we stand on Philip Lindsay and Sony Michel?
Well, I think that they belong in different conversations. I think that Sony Michel has looked borderline elite, and that's even while he's not necessarily splitting time with James White, but James White's clearly the receiving back there and can't run between the tackles. And Sony Michel can run wherever you want him to run. He looks great. From what I read, the knee injury isn't as serious as many thought. So that's thank God for that. Even though I own James White in plenty of places, so I wouldn't mind, but I never want to see anybody get hurt. Long term, I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think you're going to see Sony Michel as the first and second down back, James White coming in on third down, pass catching roles. But Sony can do three down work, so that wouldn't surprise me. With Philip Lindsay, I'm not a believer. I'm still a Royce Freeman fan, and I know he's banged up. That's very short term. He may even still play this week. Lindsay's look good, and I know you're higher on him than I am. I like Royce Freeman better. I think Royce Freeman should get the ball more. I'm just not a believer in him. I'll sell him if a team wants to buy.
Yeah, I'm selling Lindsay. I mean, I liked Lindsay all along. I didn't see this happening, obviously, but I liked his college profile. His usage was off the charts. So he was a guy I liked, but I like Royce Freeman more. I was banging the drum for Freeman all offseason. So now what I'm trying to do is sell Philip Lindsay if I've got him and buy Royce Freeman if I don't have him, because I don't think there's ever been a better buy window for any running back in their rookie year that's looked decent. Like, Royce Freeman has played pretty well. He's just been overshadowed by Lindsay. I don't think there's ever been a better buy window for a strong rookie running back than there is for Royce Freeman right now. So go out and offer a second-round pick. If you can get him for that, that's stealing. Or a second and a third.
The only thing that worries me with Freeman is that the Broncos are bad. The Broncos are real. Their offense is really bad. So I could see a lot of negative game script, in which case Freeman is probably not going to be on the field. So that worries me. But you simply can't think like that long term. You have to think that the Broncos offense is eventually going to get better. I thought we were going to see Chad Kelly in at quarterback, but apparently not. Apparently he just gets blackout drunk and ends up on people's couches. So We're going to be stuck with the Case Keenum-led offense. And I think for the rest of this year, we'll probably see a lot of Lindsay and not so much Freeman. Hopefully that changes, you know, as their offense evolves.
Yeah, I mean, you can still even probably wait till this offseason and buy Royce Freeman. But the Broncos just have so many holes there, particularly on offense, that I don't think they can possibly address the running back in a meaningful way. So I think they'll be focused on other positions, which means I think Royce Freeman's job is safe.
True,
as is Philip Lindsay's. So even though they're not good this year, they're going to have to make some moves to improve the offense, and I think it's going to have to be somewhere besides the running back position. So I think next year, 2 years from now, we'll see a better Broncos offense, and I think we'll still see Royce Freeman and maybe Philip Lindsay as well in that backfield.
I agree.
And Sony Michel, I didn't touch on, but you buy him, obviously, if you can. I don't know if you can, but he's the lead back in the Patriots offense, so that's a guy you want.
Pretty easy. Absolutely. Yeah, 100%.
Other running backs here that we should probably talk about. Big news recently here is the Cardinals have fired offensive coordinator Mike McCoy. Everybody who knows anything has been calling for that all year because he just keeps running David Johnson up the middle over and over and over. And it's stupid because that's not what David Johnson's strengths are. You want to get him out in space. You want to run him off tackle. You want to run him to the outside. You want to use him in the receiving game, line him up in the slot. What do we expect here from Byron Leftwich, the new offensive coordinator? Do you think he'll use David Johnson in a more meaningful way? Do you think David Johnson's outlook changes here? And in a dynasty context, because he's getting up there in age, are you buying? Are you selling? Are you holding? What are you doing with David Johnson here?
This is so weird. No one expected David Johnson's value to plummet as much as it has. And it doesn't even have to necessarily do with him. I mean, this is what we think is that the offense just doesn't know how to creatively get him involved. I don't know if Byron Leftwich can do that. He doesn't, as far as I know, he doesn't have experience as an offensive coordinator. And he came in and he said he wants to mirror what Bruce Arians was doing. But, I mean, you have to think that Johnson's going to do a little bit better. He can't do much worse. He's been terrible. He's been, I don't even know if he's been a running back too with the numbers that he's been putting up. I know his numbers have been comparable to like Isaiah Crowell. So you got to imagine that with his talent and his profile that they got to get him involved. It's just the lack of weapons there. Line him up in the slot. Line him up wherever. Just you got to get him involved somehow. So if you're thinking short term for the rest of this year, I think he'll do better. And for that reason, if your league does not have a trade deadline, I am definitely holding for the next month. And then as soon as he comes out and has a 200 total yard game with 3 touchdowns, all right, he's on the block. What can I get for him? Because everybody, I'm sure, is aware that he came into the league very old. So he's 27 now. The AJ Pex is getting there for him. And an offense that really isn't threatening, it just scares the hell out of me. So I'm waiting until he has a good game, and then I'm going to try and get out from underneath him.
Totally with you. I do expect things to look up, but only because they've been so bad. And if you own him, I think you got to keep starting him because he's getting 15 carries plus about 4 targets a game. So a guy that's getting 19 opportunities to score fantasy points every game, that's still valuable even if they're bad touches because it's just so rare to have a guy getting that many opportunities. So keep rolling him out there. I agree with what you said. Try to sell him as soon as something good happens and see if he can profit because his stock is going down quickly and another year will probably not help that.
I agree.
So moving on, younger running backs. What do we do with the Packers? Because they've got Aaron Jones. He's back from suspension. He's been playing well. Jamal Williams is a great pass blocker or whatever. And Ty Montgomery is, you know, good at some things. But they're just not really committing to one guy. So it really kind of lowers the floor and ceiling for all these guys on a weekly basis. Obviously, Aaron Jones is the guy we like the most. If we wanted to have it be one lead back, and he's the one that's delivered some splash plays so far. So what are we doing here with Packers running backs? Are you buying these guys, selling these guys, just trying to stay away completely? What are your thoughts?
I'm buying Aaron Jones and I'm selling everybody else.
Yep.
It's what we've been talking about all year. Nothing's changed. And if you did not buy Aaron Jones when he was suspended, it could be very similar as with Nick Chubb. The buying window might be closed. because the owners have been waiting and they know what he could do, and he's proven what he could do in the short time that he's been on the field. He's looked amazing. He's turned that offense into two-dimensional, and with the injuries that they have in that wide receiving core right now, they had to do that.
So buy Aaron Jones because he's the best, right?
Yeah. To simply put it, and it's not even close. It's not even close.
Right. Let's just make this easy.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that they continued to give Jamal Williams some sort of, you know, carries because he shouldn't. And then, you know, bring in Ty Montgomery on third down, fine. But I don't want Jamal Williams seeing the field anymore. Aaron Jones is a superior running back. That's all there is to it.
Yep, easy enough. This doesn't have to be hard. Pick the best guy.
Yep.
All right, two guys here. One that I was high on, one that I was low on. And the question is, will Rashad Penny or Ronald Jones ever happen? Or are these guys busts?
I think it's too early to call them busts. We're only 7 games into their career. But the Ronald Jones thing scares me. I thought we definitely would have seen more of each of them by now. I think that the Seahawks generally have negative game script and they don't really do well with running backs there. So the Rashad Penny thing, I'm not too worried about. I think he'll come into his own. The one that I'm worried about more so is definitely, definitely Ronald Jones. I was low on him coming into the draft process. I thought that, you know, a strong breeze could knock him over. He hasn't done anything to prove him otherwise. So if you spent a first on Jones in the draft process, I can't see any Sucker. Possible. Yeah, I can't see any possible way where you are able to recoup, you know, value even close to that.
Yep. I mean, Rashad Penny, definitely, I don't think we can call him a bust. It is really concerning that he has not been able to beat out 7th-round pick Chris Carson and undrafted Mike Davis when Chris Carson was out. So that's really bad. But I'm with you. The Seahawks offense, they're another one of those that they're going to have to address some of the holes they have on offense, particularly on the offensive line, if they're doing things rationally. Rashad Penny is going to be around for a while. He's a first-round pick. They're not just going to cut him or anything. So he'll be there next year. He'll be there 2 years from now, and hopefully things will look better. So just as I'm doing with Royce Freeman, I'm trying to buy Rashad Penny and hope the offense acts rationally this offseason and tries to get some more pieces, particularly on the offensive line. Ronald Jones, he's a bust. We knew he was a bust all along. So the fact that he hasn't really played much yet and hasn't done anything really when he has played, I'm sticking with that. He was a bust before. He's still a bust, and he will always be a bust. So you better hope if Peyton Barber's out this week, he falls into the end zone a couple of times by accident, and that you can sell him after this week.
No shit. I completely agree.
All right, on to your boy, Ito Smith.
Man.
It's coming. Just
It's here. It's here. So the Devonta Freeman – again, I never wish injuries upon anybody. But the Devonta Freeman injury could not have come at a better time for Ito Smith fans, because Ito has looked phenomenal filling in for that spell role for Tevin Coleman. And now you think of Devonta, it's clear. It is clear that Devonta Freeman's body is just breaking down on him. I do not think that he will ever come sniffing to running back one status ever again. And I would venture to say that he's arguably maybe a low-end running back too. Tevin Coleman's a free agent after this year. I don't think the Falcons re-sign him. I think he's going to be a lead back somewhere, hopefully with the Jets. But that just opens the door for Ito. He's looked great in the limited touches that he's gotten. Total TDs, I mean, he only has 3 touchdowns, which is fine. Yards per touch is over 4, which is okay. I hope that they get him more involved. It's just that offense is so stacked, even with the injury to Devonta Freeman, that there's just not a lot of room. And Matt Ryan is throwing 90 times a game. And Tevin Coleman is obviously going to be in there for his pass-catching ability. But Ito looks great. I'm extremely happy with what he's done. I'm happy that he's getting on the field. He's almost a running back one when it comes to red zone touches, so they're not shying away from him when they get near the end zone, so that's great. But again, the Falcons are 26th in the league in team run plays, so they've also been trailing a lot despite that. So if he get ahead in a few games, maybe we see a little bit more of Ito. But in the small sample size that we've seen so far, I love it. I'm impressed. I'm going to continue to buy him wherever I can, even though I own him literally everywhere. But I'm definitely stashing him. And there's not a deal on this planet that you could offer me for me to trade him.
I don't think anything more needs to be said, so we'll just move on.
All right.
So next thing, why do rookie wide receivers suck? And I'll take this one because I wrote a piece this offseason, or maybe it was early in the season. I forget when it exactly came out. It's over on playerprofiler.com, but it was titled Stop Drafting Wide Receivers in the First Round of Rookie Drafts. And the case I made essentially was running backs accrue value earlier in their career at a much higher rate than receivers. And receivers often lose value in their first year, 2 years, 3 years. So your goal as a fantasy owner on a dynasty team is to have the highest value team possible. And the way you do that is by buying low, selling high, drafting players whose value will increase, and just perpetually increasing the overall value of your team. So if you draft these rookie wide receivers in the first round, the only player, NFL first round wide receiver, whose value has gone up since being drafted is Will Fuller in the last several years. So a lot of these guys tank and some of them come back. But since that 2014 class, we really haven't seen anything like that. We really haven't seen any of these elite wide receivers coming out of the first round. And so that doesn't include all the first round dynasty rookie drafts, but still these top end wide receivers take time to develop. So they're going to probably take a hit in value early on. So we talk about the rookie running backs already. Saquon Barkley is blowing up. Sony Michel's done well. Nick Chubb's now getting his opportunity. Kerryon Johnson's getting his opportunity. Even Ronald Jones is about to get an opportunity. Darius Geis is obviously hurt, but his value probably hasn't changed much based on that because we still know what he's going to be when he comes back. But these running backs are just blowing up all over the place. And the early wide receivers taken, DJ Moore hasn't done very much. Calvin Ridley, I know I'm going to get some heat for this. He hasn't done that much either. And I'll talk about him in a second. Cortland Sutton hasn't done much yet, and they're just waiting to trade DT or Sanders for him to have an opportunity. Dante Pettis has had like one good game. Anthony Miller has been hurt a little, but hasn't done much otherwise. It's all been Taylor Gabriel as the wide receiver too. DJ Chark has done nothing. Michael Gallup has done nothing, even on a depleted wide receiver depth chart. So these guys are all taking hits in value, and there's a couple that we can talk about that have done something. But all these receivers, they're just sitting on your bench most likely because you can't start most of these guys on a week-to-week basis. So if you drafted them in the first round and you tried to sell them right now, most of these guys you probably wouldn't be able to get a first-round pick back for. And there are a couple you can make an exception. Calvin Ridley, you probably could because people just look at fantasy scores. But we talk about him. He's a guy that scored 6 touchdowns this year, but he's only playing just over 50% of the snaps. He's outside the top 50 wide receivers in targets, and he has those 6 touchdowns, but that's come on 5 red zone targets this year and only 3 end zone targets. That's easily not sustainable. So there's no way it continues. And we've seen it since his blow-up games. He hasn't scored in the last couple of weeks, and he's still playing as the third receiver behind Mohamed Sanu in terms of snaps, routes run, targets in several weeks. So he's still the wide receiver 3 on that team. And a lot of people just look at the box scores and say, oh, Calvin Ridley's this elite wide receiver. We need to go buy him. He has insane value because he's so young. He's also only 6 months younger than Amari Cooper. He came into the league so old. So get out of here with Calvin Ridley. Take those touchdowns, shove them up your ass, because he hasn't done that much yet. So anyway, I'll let you take the floor here for a minute. But these guys have all, I think, decreased in value, except maybe Ridley, just for that reason.
Yeah, I sold Ridley wherever I had him after that 3 touchdown game. I like
his talent. Which was the right move. That was the right move.
I love his talent. I think he's an extremely crisp route runner, which I think might be the most underrated attribute that a wide receiver can have. Which explains why I'm so high on Amari Cooper as well. But anybody who thinks that Calvin Ridley is blowing up right now only looks at, you know, the box scores that NFL.com gives you. It's ridiculous that people think that he's overshadowed or that he's going to overtake Julio. No, stop it. Stop it. He's probably the 4th option on that team if you count, you know, Tevin Coleman in there as well. And Austin Hooper's having a very good year too. And he's touchdown dependent, and I hate receivers that are touchdown dependent. That's probably why Dez doesn't have a job right now, because he made a career off that. But with that being said, you brought up an interesting point about how wide receivers gain value, and how we should draft them lower. And it's true. You look at people like Tyler Boyd. Great year this year. What that he's fine, and he's in his third year, I believe. Same thing with Nelson Agholor. He finally started to blow up. And we see it with Mike Williams too. If you would have tried to trade for Mike Williams in the beginning of this year, I guarantee you would have gave up a lot less than what that person drafted him for, because he was a top six pick.
Or John Ross.
John, that's another one. Yeah. So I agree with you there. And I think Tyler Boyd is a perfect example of that. There are a couple that I'm looking to buy now. I'm still very high on DJ Moore. I think that Cam is just spreading the ball around a lot, which is great for the Panthers. But I think that Moore might just be struggling with picking up the offense a little bit. Also, the emergence of Devin Funchess has been very surprising. So
no, it hasn't. That's the least surprising thing that's ever happened.
No, I've been low on Funchess.
I told you this all along.
Yeah, I've been low on Funchess, but regardless, I think DJ Moore will come into his own. And same thing with Anthony Miller. I'm still very high on Anthony Miller. I think he was my wide receiver 3 coming into the draft process. I think Mitchell Trubisky has terrible vision and can't find an open receiver to save his life. But, you know, after Allen Robinson, Taylor Gabriel, Trey Burton, I think that maybe Tariq Cohen is up there. But Anthony Miller, as a rookie, I think he'll overtake that Taylor Gabriel role eventually, or maybe some 3 wide receiver sets, throw him into the slot, and Trubisky will start looking at him more. So I'm still trying to buy him. But as far as the other wide receivers go, I don't think it's that surprising. Cortland Sutton, we knew he's good, he's talented, but he's buried on a depth chart, and it's not going to be till after this year when they separate themselves from DT and Manny that Cortland Sutton's going to get his chance. And that's still with Case Keenum throwing him the ball. So we don't know how well that's going to be. Dante Pettis, that was everybody's favorite, you know, late round wide receiver to go to because he's in a Shanahan offense, but that's great. Yeah. Whatever. That's
a lot of good bets on him.
Yeah. Big fucking deal. I guess if you want to buy low on him, you know, going into this offseason, because CJ Beathard is not going to get him the ball and that team's not going to be able to put up that many points. So if you want to do that, and then I put DJ Chark in that same category too, where people were just way too high on him.
DJ Chark.
Oh yeah, people were way too high on him coming into the year that he was going to be Jacksonville's number one receiver. No. First of all, there's nobody there, and there has been nobody there to get him the ball. So that's the first problem. Second of all, he's not that great. You know, you can't expect a wide receiver to come into a shitty situation and overtake other shitty receivers just because he's a rookie. I mean, they're still bad at football. If you can't beat out Dante Moncrief or Keelan Cole for a job, I'm getting out from under you. I'm not a believer. Out of those guys, I'm looking to buy Anthony Miller, DJ Moore. You could probably convince me for Cortland Sutton, but I'm certainly not paying whatever somebody drafted him at earlier this year.
Yeah, if you're doing fantasy football right here, you buy DJ Moore, you buy Cortland Sutton, and you try to get him for less than a first. I'd still give a late first or so for DJ Moore. And I think you buy Anthony Miller for less than a first, and you buy Michael Gallup because now he's not going to be facing primary coverages. He's got Amari Cooper. There's always a guy that was going to operate better as a number two because he's not a true alpha. So I think you buy Michael Gallup as well, and you just stay as far away as possible from DJ Chark and Dante Pettis, and you sell Calvin Ridley if I didn't mention that.
Oh, no, I agree. I completely agree.
All right, so on the plus side, we have one rookie wide receiver who's been good, and he's his team's leading receiver in a lot of categories here, Christian Kirk. So are you buying Christian Kirk, selling Christian Kirk? And does this mean that we should focus on slot receivers more in the early rounds of dynasty rookie drafts? Are these the guys that'll get into their offenses quicker?
Well, you see more and more NFL offenses running 3 wide receiver sets. So that certainly helps the argument. You also see a lot of teams getting creative with where they put their typical X receiver and throwing them in the slot. So someone like, I think Jarvis Landry really started that. But even you got some big names there. You got Odell lining up in the slot more often than not. You even see sometimes Julio motioning into the slot. With typical slot receivers, it's tough to target them and expect X receiver numbers. I think that just won't happen. If you're in a PPR league, maybe you can make that case because, you know, there's an argument that, you know, Jarvis Landry, the Jarvis Landry argument where, all right, so he doesn't have the 1,600 yards and the 12 touchdowns that a Julio Jones can give you. Well, except for the touchdowns, I guess, that an Odell Beckham can give you. But he's going to have 130 catches on 180 targets. So that alone makes it so that slot receivers should definitely be in the conversation. As far as Christian Kirk specifically, am I buying or selling? If I have him, I'm holding. If I don't, I'm probably not, you know, breaking my back to go out and buy him. Like I said earlier, I'm not a real believer in the Cardinals offense. I don't know what's going to happen there. I'm not convinced that Christian Kirk is going to be the primary benefactor of Josh Rosen. So it's unless, you know, the person who drafted him wants nothing for him, which is never going to be the case because he's been the one bright spot of this rookie wide receiver group. I'm probably not going to spend what it'll take to get him.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get him for a second, I would. I think his market value is probably about right, so I don't think you can really buy or sell at this point. I don't think the owner is going to be egregiously high or low on him. And if you own him, I don't think anybody's going to give you a godfather offer for him. So no. I think he's a hold. But generally speaking, I think slot receivers are underrated a lot by fantasy players. So I think it's a good idea to go out and think about what slot receivers are out there, what roles they might play in their teams. And Christian Kirk was one of those guys that I think you could have projected him to get involved in his offense much earlier than some of these other guys, not only because he was very pro-ready, but because Arizona just didn't have much in terms of wide receivers. And you look at some of these other guys like Calvin Ridley's going into a crowded depth chart. Cortland Sutton's going into a crowded depth chart. Anthony Miller, we didn't think it was that crowded, but they did sign Allen Robinson and Taylor Gabriel in the offseason, and they brought in Trey Burton. So it was decently crowded. So a lot of these guys had more competition. Christian Kirk, we projected him as a starter right away. So you want to get those guys, and if they're a slot receiver, they're becoming more and more prevalent in the NFL game, like you mentioned, with these three receiver sets. So a lot of these guys are fantasy viable and underrated. So generally speaking, I think it's a good idea to look at those guys.
All right. I agree.
Quick one here. James Washington, are we ever going to get treated to him, or is he always going to be buried?
This is tough. I mean, I don't think Antonio is really slowing down that much, considering his age. So I'm under the mindset that he might just stay buried. I know we talked about him in the before the season started with the situation like what the Steelers had when they had Emmanuel Sanders, and they brought up Antonio Brown, and they kind of just let Emmanuel Sanders walk. That's not going to be the case here. What they have, they're keeping.
Okay, you're making me sad.
I was all about James Washington. I loved his
–
I wish the Cowboys drafted him because I think he would have been a perfect fit there. But even with, you know, the two tight ends that they have and Connor and Ryan Switzer is getting more opportunity than James Washington right now. So it's just – it sucks, but I can't imagine unless some sort of injury happens, which you can't predict. I can't imagine him getting – on the field, let alone into your fantasy starting lineup.
Yep, RIP. Hope he's on your taxi squad, not taking up a bench spot. I'm sad. Moving on. So we've got two guys here that have been thrust into full-time roles due to injuries. One of them's actually not going to play in his game tonight, but these guys are now playing starter snaps in their respective teams. What do we think of Kiki Cutie and Tre'Quan Smith?
So the best name in football. He's looked good. He's looked so good, and I did not expect Kiki to be doing this. I was also very low on Deshaun Watson, which I was admittedly somewhat wrong on.
He's been okay.
Yeah, he hasn't been setting the world on fire like he was last year, which we knew he was going to regress. But Kiki is what we wanted the Texans to have, you know, for the last 3-4 years, where they have these two great. Well, all right, two great outside threats. I don't think Will Fuller's a very good receiver, but he's a great threat. DeAndre Hopkins is the best receiver in the NFL, and I don't think it's that much of an argument there. So you put Kiki in the slot. If they ever, you know, develop a decent tight end, I think that'll be even more helpful for him or get a running game. You know, Lamar Miller's looked decent this year. But Kiki's look great. That goes back to the slot wide receiver argument that you were making before.
Yep.
So I'm all over that. Hopefully the buying window is still open there. People don't realize what he's been doing.
Yeah, and another guy that you projected as a, you should have projected as a starter because the Texans don't have a strong pass catching tight end. So they're one of those teams that was an obvious candidate to use a lot of these three wide receiver sets. So Kiki Cutie, another guy, later round pick, but you could have pretty reasonably projected him as a starter right off the bat. And it didn't take him that long. He wasn't necessarily a starter in week one, but he got in pretty quick. And I think that's one of the reasons why is they don't really have a tight end of consequence.
No, I agree. And I think that it was a blessing in disguise because they see what they got in him. So getting a tight end now will only make that offense that much better. So as far as your boy Traquan, this fucking guy couldn't even get his first touchdown ball back. But
my dude,
I guess his first touchdown is going to be in the Hall of Fame. So he's got that going for him. This is a guy where I don't think his buying window is closed yet. But if you got an owner that isn't oblivious to NFL news and doesn't realize that Ted Ginn was placed on the IR and, you know, Traquan and Cameron Meredith hasn't looked great and he's been banged up, go out and get him. Oh, go out and get him now if you can. And don't be afraid to spend up on him. I think he's going to be solid. I think Breeze still arguably has 2 years left. So if anything, you go out and get him now. Let him acquire some value and sell them at a later date, but I'm all about buying both these guys.
I'm totally with you. I don't think anything more needs to be said here really other than Traquan Smith. He's probably the wide receiver I banged the drum the most for this offseason. It's obviously happening now, so you better get him before he continues to put up numbers because his price is probably about to skyrocket and the window's probably not closed yet because he had that one big game with those two touchdowns, but I think the window's still open. I think you can buy him and you obviously should because, duh.
Yeah, no shit. I completely agree.
All right, one word here. Will Antonio Callaway ever stop dropping passes?
No.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, so maybe sell if you can get anything.
Yeah. Wait till he has a 90-yard touchdown on a slant.
Yeah.
And then sell.
All right, so Antonio Callaway sucks. Moving on to tight ends here. So this rookie class – as we know, we had, I think, a lot of discussion about who ends up at the top, especially after the draft. It was pretty much between, for most people, Mike Gesicki and Dallas Goedert. And then after the draft, Hayden Hurst was the first tight end taken. So there was kind of some discussion three ways between the Hayden Hurst and those two guys. At this point, it looks clear to me, based on what we've seen, that it's Dallas Goedert and it's everyone else. Is that how you see this tight end class?
100%. And I know that. Well, for me, at least, I had Gesicki as very close behind Goddard, but just based on opportunity alone. But even with the opportunity, Goddard has just looked great. And I'm not fully convinced that the Eagles keep Ertz after this year. They are in a shitload of trouble as far as the salary cap goes, and Ertz is due a lot of money. Goddard looks more than capable of being the tight end one on that team. If he was by himself on that team, I would venture to say that he's possibly a top five dynasty tight end right now. But
yeah, because if they don't bring Ertz back next year, I think he immediately moves
100%.
Top eight, probably at a minimum. But yeah, it's a discussion for sure.
So, okay, let's hypothetically, if Ertz moves on, Dallas Goedert or Evan Engram?
Goedert.
See, there you go. So I think you look at a lot of rankings and people will have Evan Engram in the top five, especially because I think it's just based on his rookie year and people forget that Odell was hurt. Sterling Shepard was hurt. So he was more or less the only target there. But I agree. I think I put Goddard ahead of Engram also, assuming Ertz moves on. If he doesn't, that's another conversation. But yeah, for me, Goddard is the clear number one out of this class.
Yeah, and I don't really want anything to do with any of these other guys. I mean, Gesicki, you had to spend probably a second-round pick to get him. Hayden Hurst, second, maybe a third, depending on your league. So I wasn't in on those guys at their price. Goddard was the one I was trying to stash everywhere because everyone was scared by Zach Ertz. But like you said, they can get out of his contract pretty easily. So go, like, offer a second-round pick in every league you're in. Try to get Goddard right now because that will pay off big time.
No, I completely agree. And I think I'm a little bit higher on Gesicki than you. I'm still We know tight ends take a while to get accumulated at, to get used to the league. I'm a believer in him. I'll wait to the off season when he really doesn't produce anything to buy, but
buy him for like a third.
Yeah. I still like Gesicki, and I'm still a Mark Andrews fan over Hayden Hurst. It just sucks that the Ravens seem to disagree with me.
Yeah, he was the one guy. The only two rookie tight ends I drafted were Goddard and Andrews. And Andrews was because he slipped so far in so many leagues that I felt obligated to take him because he's, in my mind, the better pass-catching tight end of the two in Baltimore.
I agree. And
I figured it was a matter of time before he beats out Hayden Hurst, but even so, at such a cheap cost, who cares if he doesn't?
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I'd pick him up off waivers if he's out there, which he might be in some leagues.
No, I agree.
All right, last thing here on tight ends. We touched on Evan Engram. Of the three sophomores, first-rounders from last year, O.J. Howard, Evan Engram, David Njoku, who do you like best out of this group? Is Evan Engram your number three at this point? Because he is for me. And are you trying to buy any of these guys right now?
I'll try and buy all of them at the right price. I like them all. And tight ends are so bad that, you know, it's hard to find people, but clear number one out of this group is O.J. Howard, and it is not even close.
Oh, wrong.
No. David Njoku is still too raw for me. I like the opportunity share that he's gotten since Baker has been quarterback. He's looked much better, but O.J. Howard, especially once they get rid of Cameron Brate next year, O.J. Howard is going to be a top four, I think maybe even top five, dynasty tight end as far as my rankings go. He does it all. He's a great blocker, runs crisp routes. He's athletic. So I go OJ, Njoku, Engram. And that was my order going into the actual draft process last year. So I'm okay with it.
Yeah, going into the draft last year, I had the same. I had OJ, then Njoku, then Engram. And the reason it was relatively close for me, but I had OJ number one because I figured they'd move on from Brate after last year, which they obviously didn't.
Yeah.
So that's the reason I have Njoku number one right now, is because he's the lone tight end there. And since Baker's come in, Njoku's the favorite target there. And, you know, he's obviously an athletic monster, as is O.J. Howard. But
sure.
You know, he's running a ton of routes with Baker Mayfield under center. He has two games in the last 3 weeks, over 10 targets, two touchdowns in the last two games. And I think this will continue because the Browns are pretty depleted on offense right now. It's really Landry. It's David Johnson / Nick Chubb, and it's David Njoku. And Antonio Callaway's getting targets, but they're really just hurting on offense for pass catchers. So depending on what they do in the draft and depending on whether Cameron Brate comes back, that can obviously flip. But as of now, David Njoku's role is safer. And so for me, he's number one. It's not a huge difference between him and Howard. And then I think there's a pretty significant gap between both of these guys and Evan Engram.
Yeah, I couldn't argue with anybody who decided to do that. I think between Njoku and Howard, you could make the argument like you did, where Njoku has a better opportunity to share right now because the threat of Cameron Brate still exists. But that's fair.
I think Njoku could end this year as a top six tight end, and I don't see that as a possibility for O.J. Howard at this point. So I think Njoku could be a part of a championship team this year right now, and I don't see that for O.J. Howard unless you're stacked everywhere else.
Well, how about this? Let's throw George Kittle into here. What does he rank?
Honestly, I would probably put Kittle over Evan Engram because his role's safe, and that pass-catching group is much thinner than they have in New York. You know, Evan Ingram's the fourth target on his team behind OBJ, Shepard, and Barkley. So George Kittle, much better opportunity share, even though it's not – quite on as good of an offense at this point. And I know some people might disagree with that, but I like the outlook longer term, especially once Jimmy G comes back.
How about this? I think George Kittle's better than all three of them.
No.
Yeah, I love George Kittle. I love what that offense is going to be when Jimmy G comes back and Shanahan gets to mold, you know, his guys. I like Kittle to be a top three dynasty tight end when we look down the road. No, I'm not saying now or
even,
not even next year. I'm saying, you know, once Kelsey, he's 29, so when he gets into his early 30s, so let's say 3-4 years from now when Kittle is 25 years old, you know, that's prime for all these guys as far as age goes. I think he's going to be a top three dynasty tight end. I think he's a monster.
I think that'll be Njoku and Howard, but I'm not seeing it for Kittle. But that's a good take. I mean, it could absolutely happen.
Hot take, I guess.
Very, very, very good. So we'll end on that hot take. If you want more hot takes, hit Jared up on Twitter. You can find him over at The Dynasty Owl. You can find me at Leopold NFL. Check out our main page at FFD260 on Twitter. The website is FFDynasty260.com. A lot of good content out there on a weekly basis, redraft stuff, starts, sits, everything you can imagine. Also in this channel, wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, TuneIn, Stitcher, we have the Redraft Podcast, the All 22 Podcast. So check out those guys as well. A lot of good content for people to play in seasonal leagues. We'll probably be off for a few more weeks as well because Dynasty doesn't change all that much in season. So we'll let the Redraft guys keep going. We'll be back probably sometime around fantasy playoffs. Until then, Jared, any final words here?
No, just excited for tonight. Want to see DeAndre Hopkins go off for 170 yards and 3 touchdowns. How about that?
I have to mention this before we sign off, just in case it's super wrong, because this will probably come out after the game. Xavier Howard is super overrated, so DeAndre Hopkins is going to have a field day today.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I don't think Xavier Howard is nearly as good as people have been saying.
Love it. All right. We're out of here, guys. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Keep tuning into this channel, as I mentioned, for the other podcasts, and we'll be back in 4 or 5 weeks or so.